Welcome to this week's edition of Radioactive Magazine on KKFI 90.1 FM, Kansas City Community Radio. The views and assessments in this introduction are entirely my own. Our democracy, after years of decline, has entered a twilight realm with powerful anti-democratic forces leaning towards authoritarianism. These forces cloak themselves in patriotism and alternate realities, while engaging in demonization of the other side, denial or severe distortions of reality, disinformation, embracing a violent rhetoric, the portrayal of public health measures during a pandemic as the actions of a tyrannical government, and through the myth of widespread voter fraud, denial of the legitimacy of our November 2020 presidential election. This myth has grown, becoming an article of faith among tens of millions, despite officials at all levels of our government, many of them Republican, affirming the free and fair election of President Joe Biden in November 2020. The former Attorney General Bill Barr, one of ex-President Trump's staunchest supporters, denied widespread voter fraud, affirming Biden's presidency. All the legal challenges to the November 2020 election were resoundingly rejected by our nation's courts. This living myth of widespread voter fraud has led to the introduction of over 400 bills seeking greater voting restrictions across the country. A total of 19 states have passed 34 laws of this kind, most notoriously Texas and Georgia. The Missouri legislature is not immune from these national dynamics, despite Trump winning Missouri by 18 points in the 2020 election, with many voter restriction bills introduced, including one giving the General Assembly power to choose its own slate of electors. To discuss these dynamics in the Missouri legislature, we have as our guests Senator Greg Racer and Representative Yolanda Young. Senator Racer is a native of Southeast Missouri, has been living in Kansas City since 2001, has served two terms in the Missouri House, and is now a senator representing the 7th District here in Kansas City. Representative Young won a special election in 2020 and is now the representative for District 22 in Jackson County. Representative Young has long and deep ties to our community and is the managing director of the Community Outreach and Engagement for Kansas City. Senator Racer and Representative Young, we deeply appreciate you taking time from your busy schedules to join us in Radioactive Magazine today, and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Well, really, really great to have you both on the show. Let's jump right into the questions here. In 2021, there were a number of bills introduced in the Missouri legislature seeking a variety of voting restrictions, including strict voter ID provisions. The legislature did not pass any of these. What key factors or actions were involved in defeating these bills?
That's a good question. While there are typically, I think, several factors that come into play when you talk about legislative strategy, and some I'm sure I don't even know about, but I think for this, there were basically a couple of things that I can think of that tipped the scales, if you will. One, constituents don't like restrictions on voting, plain and simple. And Missourians have proved that what they do like is equal access to the ballot. Our state has a large network of bipartisan voting right advocates who work around the clock tirelessly to make sure that further restrictions on voting don't pass. So it's because of them that we do what we do in the legislature, those of us who support voting equality, we're able to at least try to stop bad legislation from crossing the finish line. And we also try to foster expanding access to voting. So number one, constituents don't like restrictions on voting. Number two, the Missouri Supreme Court doesn't look favorably on restrictions to vote. So even when the legislator had been able to pass restrictions like, for example, the photo voter ID, the court struck them down. And then lastly, I think, I'm not sure if the Republicans want to make voter restriction their top priority in the House.
I would echo a lot of what Representative Young said in her analysis of what happened last year. But I also think it's important, and this is something that you're going to hear me say often today, is trying to get people to understand the dynamics of the Missouri Senate as it exists right now. There are 34 senators, 10 Democrats, and 24 Republicans. But of those 24 Republicans, there is a faction of 6 to 8 that call themselves the Conservative Caucus. And they tend to gum up the process with some extremism. And so last year on this specific issue, we saw a lot of disagreement about how restrictive a voter ID law should be. I think with the Conservative Caucus wanting to go to an extreme that the court wouldn't hold up, the more traditional Republican members recognizing that. And then with other issues that were before us and intra-party infighting that was happening, it kind of fell to the wayside. I suspect we will see it again this year. Like the representative said, it's an election year. This is kind of an issue that gets people worked up, obviously. So I think we'll talk about it again. I don't know if anything will happen or not.
Well, yeah, there's no question that these bills are going to be a continuing issue in the upcoming session. The Brennan Center for Justice talks about how there have been a number of pre-filed bills in various legislatures, including and Missouri has quite a number that are pre-filed already. And in fact, there are 9 pre-filed bills from Missouri, from the legislature's last session. And which ones concern each of you the most? Representative Young, we'll start with you.
Okay. Well, we talk about HB 1301 was filed last session, but it didn't get a hearing. And the fact that it was filed is concerning, I think. But in terms of overall constitutionality of the measure, I would have to get more information on that. But this bill and others like this bill are extremely dangerous to our democracy. I mean, the ability to say that electors or elections is or was fraudulent, when you combine that with legislators who can pick electors, it to me means that the ruling party in the General Assembly essentially has more control over elections than the voters do. And I just feel that this is the stance that's been taken in an attempt to empower the ruling party to override or overrule the will of the people. And a good example of that is what happened with Medicaid expansion. There's no evidence of significant voter fraud in Missouri. We have cities and counties that do an outstanding job of administering our elections and ensuring election integrity. And we need to give them the tools they need to continue to do so. We need to make it easier for people to vote and not harder for people to vote. So these bills are concerning.
Yeah, I was particularly disturbed when I saw the summary on the HB 1301, which basically, if passed, would give the legislature the right, the authority to pick its own slate of presidential electors without governor approval. You know, so that just blew my mind, really, that was even introduced. Senator Razor, you want to address yourself to that particular bill?
On House Bill 1301, and you described it very well, that it would give the legislature the right to essentially override the vote of the people and mm-hmm. select electors. I don't think that has much of a chance of passing. The problem with all of these bills is that we're having this discussion over the air, We're having this discussion in the Capitol building. And all of these discussions undermine our democracy. We had a free and fair election. We have election officials from both parties across the country who are confirming that. We know that these elections were working. Here in Missouri, when you go around, county clerks in rural Missouri, virtually all of them Republicans running free and fair elections. I just, this is a perpetuation of the big lie. It is dangerous. It is dangerous not only to our state, but to our nation. And we have to stand up and reclaim patriotism, reclaim this country. And, you know, while we are talking and talking a lot of doom and gloom, I do want people to know that there are, you know, a substantial number of Republicans in Jefferson City in both the Senate and the House who we work well with, who I believe also see this as dangerous. We have to make sure that we don't get into a mentality that all Republicans are enemies. We may have philosophical disagreements, but we're all Americans and we're not enemies. And I'm very proud that I'm able to work with a large number of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle. And we work to find compromise together. But there are those that are introducing bills like this one that really damage our democracy.
I really good to hear your comments there. So is it fair to say that the extreme views that we're talking about or the extreme introductions are a minority of the Republican wing of legislature, or
I think it's the minority of the elected official that far extremism. The problem is if it gets brought up as an amendment on the floor, then you're putting more reasonable minded people in a position where the correct vote may hurt them at the ballot box. That message isn't going to get through. So as we become more polarized to the right and to the left, it gets harder and harder to come back to the middle and to stay in the middle, to try to find a place where we can reach compromise.
Well, you know, I would like to sort of echo my understanding from study after study. From everything I've seen, is voter fraud is an extremely rare event. And I remember an interview I did with Lori Elam, who's works with the Kansas City Election Board. And this was a year or two ago. And she said that in her 10 years with the Kansas City Election Board, there was one instance of voter fraud where somebody voted in Kansas and Missouri. It just is. And I also did an interview with Jason Kander about that same period of time. And he's the former Missouri Secretary of State. And he said, look, you know, voter fraud is extremely rare. You know, it's like the point is people people are not going to risk committing a felony for an extra vote. Have either one of you ever heard of any significant voter fraud in Missouri?
No, just the opposite.
No. Oh, okay. Well, I think let's get to redistricting. My understanding is that the redistricting process is not limited by the Voting Rights Act, which has been gutted by the Supreme Court. So can you talk about the redistricting process and kind of what's going to be happening this coming year with that here in Missouri?
Sure. I'll jump in if that's okay. There's two kind of processes that are going on. First, with the state House and Senate. The state House and Senate, we have to get those done quickly. There are independent commissions that are appointed They both stalemated. So now on January 23rd, it will go to a panel of judges, and those judges will write or draw the maps. On the congressional side, that's something that we have to do in the legislature. And once again, it goes back to that same fight within the Republican majority about, are we going to have a 6-2 map, or are they going to try to draw Congressman Cleaver out and form a 7-1 Republican to Democratic map? I think that's going to be a big fight, and a big fight right off the bat. Ultimately, I think Representative Cleaver will be fine. I think we'll get a 6-2 map, but it's going to be an ugly process.
What kind of timeline are we looking at for this process to be completed?
Well, they will go to the judges on January 23rd, I believe. They will try to get this wrapped up as soon as possible because people have to know if they're going to run for office or not. So you need to know where you live and what district you live in. So we may have to pass emergency legislation to extend the filing deadline, which typically runs from mid-February to mid-March. So that is for both the state House and Senate and our congressional delegation. So we are in a time crunch. This is unprecedented.
That is definitely a time crunch, no doubt about that.
Yes.
I know Representative Cleaver's district was gerrymandered in the last census, where the Kansas City 5th District was extended out to three counties east of Kansas City. And what are the odds of his district remaining the same at this point? Are there any ideas about that? Representative Young, do you have any feedback on that? Or,
well, I've been told that it's not likely that the district will change too much. I don't know that the Republican Party wants to. I have heard, and I don't understand all of it, that it may be more costly to do a 7-1 versus the 6-2, what we have now, for the Republicans later. And, you know, I don't have all the information about it, but what I am hearing is it's not likely that it will happen.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. Senator Razor, you have any comments about that? Or?
Yeah, a couple of things. One, we saw with the last census a huge population decline in Southeast Missouri. And so that district has to expand quite a bit, which affects every other district since we have proportional representation. So I think we will see Congressman Cleaver and the 5th Congressional District probably lose some of those rural districts. The question becomes, in a 6-2 district, 6 Republican, 2 Democrats, state, that means you have 6 solidly Republican districts and 2 solidly Democratic districts. You're not going to be able to flip any of those.
Right.
There are a number of Republicans that want to try to draw a 7-1 map, which to do that means you split Kansas City up and put us into 3 different congressional districts. The problem with a 7-1 district is, in the right year, that can become a 5-3 district. Are a problem for the majority party, because what you're doing is creating 1 super Democratic district and 3 districts that lean Republican, that in most years for the majority party would be a 7-1 district. But in a year like, let's say, 2006, we could flip all 3 of those. And that would also cost, you know, the state party and their donors a lot of money defending those districts year in and year out. Now, I'm not saying that that's not a good thing for democracy, but from a partisan standpoint, if you're the Republican Party leaders, is that really what you want to do?
So the final redistricting maps are going to be coming out on what date again? I'm not entirely clear.
They will go to the state maps, will go to the judge at the end of this month.
Let's move to the initiative petition process. I mean, I know that there were some bills that were introduced last year, 2021, where there were attempts made to proposals made to significantly increase the number of signatures required to get an initiative on the ballot, and also to move passage from over 50% to two-thirds majority. What's going to happen with those particular proposals this coming session? Representative Young, you want to go first?
Sure. What I do know is that, and what I've heard over and over, is direct democracy efforts in Missouri have largely been successful. And we know that this has occurred. Although Democrats have not always won battles when it comes to initiative petitions, we know that the efforts are really its purest form for the people to pass, to help pass state policy. It's unfortunate that some of our politicians think that they know much better than the people. The supermajority did everything in their power. We mentioned Medicaid expansion last year, even though it passed easily, and several Republican legislators still insist on passing certain bills like the right to work laws. And I think it just damages labor efforts. I think we'll see more of this in the next session.
I know, through initiative petition, Medicaid expansion was passed, the minimum wage was passed, and along with negating efforts to around right to work. I think Senator Razor, can you address yourself to the issue of what interests are behind these efforts to change the requirements for the initiative petition? Do you have any information on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be a big priority this year. And the reason for changing it, I think, is simple, and you just explained it. When put before the people want democratic policies. Mm-hmm. They want, strong labor laws. They want Medicaid expansion. They want an increase in the minimum wage. And that's not the priorities of the majority party in Jefferson City. And so if with them in charge, they want to take that right away from the people. And so we have to fight that.
In regards to Medicaid expansion, my understanding is that the legislature, I believe they tried to not fund it. And then my understanding is that there was some sort of court ruling saying that they couldn't do that. Is that correct?
You are correct. We did not fund it. So when we come back and we do this every year, we'll have to pass a supplemental budget. I want to give props to the governor on this. Wants to give our state workforce a raise. And it's a substantial raise. I think it's way overdue. But all three of those things are going to be a fight in the first month of the legislature.
Sounds like a lot of work on your plate. Representative Young sort of made reference to the our COVID pandemic having an effect on the way the legislature works. Representative Young, can you kind of describe, talk a little bit more about that?
Well, I can mention that one thing that occurred was due to the pandemic, there were restrictions that were eased for the election. Now, Representative Billington, I think with HB 1455, and Representative Kelly, both have bills that really undo the voting laws and enacted during COVID. It limits people's ability to vote in a way that best works for them. Meanwhile, we have Democrats that want to make absentee voting, and absentee voting was a big issue during COVID. Mm-hmm. A lot of people wanted to make absentee voting accessible, more accessible for people. They wanted it to be excuse-free, so it's easier, and it ensures that people can exercise their right to vote. There are some, it's huge bills, omnibus bills. I'm becoming more and more leery of these big bills because there's so many details, it's so complex, and it's so easy to sneak things in those bills that disenfranchise people. But there are some good provisions in Representative Kelly's bills, but we'll have to keep fighting hard to make sure that Missourians don't lose their right to vote.
We're just about out of time here on Radioactive Magazine. Representative Young, do you want to, what would you like to say in conclusion for this show, and anything you'd like to say to our listeners here?
Yes, I just want the listeners to know, while we've had some challenges the past year, the past 2 years, I'm hopeful that collectively, if we work together, we can get some things done for the state of Missouri. We need everyone to stand and voice their opinions and their comments. Contact your legislator. That we're here to serve. Contact us and let us know what your concerns are. You can visit in person. You can attend committee hearings and voice your comments there. You can email, you can write us. We want to hear from you. And we just want everyone to know we're there and we're going to work hard to make Missouri better.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I couldn't agree more. Senator Razor, what would your concluding comments be?
Thank you for having me. I would say this is going to be an incredibly difficult year in the legislature with the things we've talked about, redistricting and Medicaid expansion and passing a regular budget, not to mention fights over critical race theory and abortion and beating up on trans kids. And we're going to be there to fight for our values every step of the way. But to end on a positive, thanks to President Biden and our friends in Congress, Missouri actually has quite a big budget surplus. And so we're going to be able to work on infrastructure that is sorely needed in the state of Missouri, putting people back to work, investing in our schools, investing in our workforce and our people. And so if there's a silver lining this year, it could be that infusion of investment into our state and into our people. And moving us forward, and it's so sorely needed, especially in a state like Missouri.
Hear, hear. Well, thank you very much for Representative Young and Senator Razor being on the show today.